God who what? Who works in you. It means that God gives you the energy. The divine enablement is from God to do what? It says, well, it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure, not your good pleasure.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome to the broadcast. Today, Pastor Bill continues his series from Hebrews, Jesus is Better. In our study last time, we learned that God's chastening is evidence of His love. God doesn't want us to be pampered babies. He wants us to become mature adults who can be trusted with the responsibilities of this life. Now, let's join Pastor with today's message, Essentials for the Race.
These few verses we're going to cover, which are difficult verses, by the way, we're going to talk about the essentials for the race that we're running. Remember that in all the way back in chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, our teaching there, that ended the doctrinal section of Hebrews. And then we started making application. We started walking out who we are in Christ Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, we know there in Hebrews 10:38 that the Bible tells us how Christians are to live on this planet. And it says, the just shall live by faith. There is no other way to live. There's no other way to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. So we approach God by faith. It's impossible to please Him without it, okay? And also He says, if you draw back, God says in His word, He says, my soul, I have no pleasure in what you're doing if you draw back, not believing me, not believing my promises. And then in verse 39, it says, but we are not those, speaking to the Jewish believers then and us as well, but we're not those that draw back into perdition, but to the saving of the soul. We walk by faith. Amen. We know that true Bible faith is confident obedience to God, His promises. No matter what we face, no matter the cost, no matter the circumstances, we walk by faith because we know that God cannot lie. Now, the race of faith, our race of faith, it begins the day that you're born again. The moment you come to Christ, the race of faith, whether you know it or not, it has begun. Amen? And the race of faith that we live on this planet, is it for one day, one month, one year? No, it is until we run all the way home. Amen? I mean, can you just imagine what it's going to be like entering into our homeland? We're citizens of heaven. We're going to be welcomed there. And so the race of faith, as we run it, there are things that try to slow us down. There are struggles that we endure as we go and run this race. And so this morning, we're going to look at the essentials that we need for the race. So we have duties to do. We have dangers to look out for and so forth. Or we could say things to pursue and things not to pursue, if you will. So let's begin looking at these essentials this morning, beginning in verse 14. And Paul, that's who I believe the author is, he says, pursue peace with some people. Don't you wish that was true? I told the early service that they stood up and started applauding. And you know, they must have a lot of problems. I don't know. You guys are not like that, I know. But you know, it would be wonderful if I could say, you know what, I'm going to be peaceful with you, but with you, no, I'm going to punch that person out or whatever. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, it says pursue peace with all people. Now, here's the problem with that. Peace just doesn't happen. Don't you wish it was just we get together and everybody's at peace? Peace doesn't just happen. We have to do something. The word pursue there is a command. It's in the imperative, if you will. And it's also in the present tense imperative, which it means to continually to pursue or make every effort or chase after or strive for peace with every person as you run your race. Amen? That's very, very important. Matter of fact, it's not passive in the Greek. It's active. It's strong. It's on fire, if you will. It's a picture of an animal chasing down its prey almost. I mean, just, I'm going to get it. It's like you're in the slow lane on 820. okay? And you're driving, 75, 80 in the slow lane because you have to, you understand. And then all of a sudden, a Maserati, no, let's just go with a good car, a Corvette Stingray, man, zooms right past you, 150 miles an hour. This is what I do. It seems like they get close to you when they do that. So it just scares old people to death like Mario. You understand? So I'm sorry, Mario. I didn't think you were here. I'm joking. It scares me. And they zoom right past you, and they're going 150 miles an hour. And you always say, where are the police when you want them to be there? Come on. But then all of a sudden, you see them coming. I mean, their lights are going, their sirens are going, and you're going, get them. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, you know. Well, is that police officer in hot pursuit of that Corvette? Yes. No. Oh, meaning that police car can't catch it? What is that? No, listen, loved one. No, that's what it means. You are to go to that extreme with that type of effort and that type of diligence. And it's not, are all people pleasant? No, they're not. Just Calvary people. But we're to pursue that kind of peace, loved one, as we run the race of faith. There's no other way. So that is our goal. Now, in historical context, if we go back to the first century with the Jewish believers, would you say that there is a severe conflict between the Jewish believers that are saved in Christ and those that are not? You better believe it. So we know that was occurring. Now, there's something we need to understand about peace, though. To make peace with people doesn't mean that we compromise. It doesn't mean that we agree with their sin, amen? But it does mean this. We speak the truth to them, but we only speak it one way. We speak it in love. And the reason that we speak it in love is because verse 11 from last Sunday has already happened in our life. We have been chastened by God. We have been trained by God, amen? And we're in God's gym. He has trained us. And listen, I'm going to do what God says. I want to do those things because I know it always works. Now, pursue peace. Go after them. Pursue peace with all people. And why would that be a command? Because if you're running a race, and we are, I'm going to tell you, conflict with anyone, will it slow you down? Come on. I mean, don't you hate conflict? Look, let's say you're in an argument or there's not peace with, it could be someone you love, it could be a believer, an unbeliever, and then it's time to go to lunch. Do you enjoy your lunch? No, you enjoy them for lunch. Come on. Yeah, you're not happy about it. If you argue with your spouse, and I'm sure no one at Calvary does that, at nighttime before you go to bed, there's no, you know what I'm saying. And you just, you know, you go to sleep. No, but if you have an argument with your wife, God forbid, but if you do, you don't solve that before you go to bed. What happens when you wake up? You don't speak. You're passive aggressive. Listen, don't be like that first service. I love you guys. Y'all can be honest with me here, okay? No, listen, it doesn't work. See, if you don't have peace, it's going to knock you off course. It, matter of fact, it could even stop you in your tracks if you're not at peace with other people. And what it does, it takes your eyes off the Prince of Peace, the only one that offers peace, the only one that can give peace. Amen? Matter of fact, it says in Ephesians 2:14, He Himself, meaning Jesus, He is our peace. John 14:27 teaches that Jesus, my peace, He said, my peace, the very peace of Christ, my peace I have given unto you. So you have that working in you right now. But the word there, it says all people. Is all a big word? Man, that's a huge word. I mean, to me, that is major. All, everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they're doing, your goal is to have peace because you're running a race, okay? It is a divine essential that you have that. Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to the saints at Rome in Romans 12:18, he said this. He says, if it is possible, as much as depends upon you, in other words, depends upon you, make every effort or to pursue and live peacefully with all men. If it is possible. Is it always possible? No. It might be possible on our part, but it might not be possible on the other person's part. But we're to do the best that we can. We're to make every effort to do those things. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. He was describing what a son of God does, a daughter of God does. They always want to make peace. James says in James 3:18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'm going to ask you a question. You know it. I know it. Is there peace in this world? No. Do we live in a wicked world? Do we live in a wicked nation? Do we live in a wicked city? Do we live among wicked people? Yes, we do. God says in Isaiah, saith the Lord, there is no peace for the wicked. No peace. They have no peace. They're always being tossed to and fro in the storm, loved one. Someone said this about peace. It says, peace is that glorious moment in history when everyone stops to reload. Isn't that about the truth? Yes. Now, the Bible teaches us about our peace. That since we want to, that's an essential, it tells us that we are to guard our peace. The peace, that unity of the Spirit that God has given unto us. Let me give you the scripture and I'll read it to you in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, Paul writes, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. And he says, here's how you do it. With all lowliness, that means just humility. It says gentleness. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, that's another fruit of the Spirit. Bearing with one another, and then it says in love. Is love a fruit of the Spirit? Yes. Endeavoring, or making every effort, or pursuing to keep, that word means to guard, the unity of the Spirit. See, we already have the unity, but we're to guard that unity. Amen? And how do we guard the unity? It tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, it is the bond of love. Love never fails. That's what we are called to do. Now, listen very carefully. It's easy to not understand these few short verses that we're talking about this morning. Now, question. The Jewish believers, all believers in every generation, no matter who they are, no matter where they live, they are all commanded to pursue peace. Amen? In other words, to make every effort. But the thing that we're commanded to pursue is something that we already possess and that is also part of our position because we're in Christ Jesus. Do we have peace with God? Does a Christian have peace with God? Yes. Boy, if you don't believe that, you're in trouble. God's not mad at you. Amen? No. Listen, let me give you the scripture, Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified, remember, declared innocent before God, just as if you had never sinned, he says, by faith we have peace with God. And in the Greek, it would be present continuous, on and on, forever and ever. We have peace with God. And the reason is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So peace, listen carefully. Peace is just like justification. When you were born from above, I didn't know it. Maybe you did, but I doubt it. The moment you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, a judicial decision happened by God in heaven. He declared you justified. He declared you not guilty anymore because you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? He declared just as you had never sinned. But you didn't know that. If you did, you're a very smart Christian. I didn't know that. Matter of fact, if someone had said 5 minutes after I was born from above, did you know that you were just justified by God? I would go, I don't know what, I can't even spell justification. You know what I'm saying? No. But see, why? Justification is something that happens to you, okay? To you. It doesn't happen in you, it happens to you. But in other words, it is not a feeling, it's a divine fact. Okay, peace with God, you said we have peace with God, I have it right now, but it doesn't mean that you feel it, it means that you believe it as a divine fact, amen? And what happens is we don't experience it, but later on as you mature in Christ, it moves from a fact to a revelation in your life because you believe the Word of God. You believe that we have, through Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. Now listen, so therefore about peace, to make every effort to really pursue it, it means this. If you're going to have peace with all people, then you just simply have to walk in love. And how do you do that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. If we say that we abide in Him, in Jesus, then we should walk even as He walked. Amen? Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue, let us chase after with all of our strength the things which make for peace. Good word. Now we move to a subject that can scare a lot of people. Not only are we to pursue peace, but look at the next part of verse 14. We are to pursue holiness. Say that word, holiness. Without which, you don't have it now. Without it, no one, absolutely no one, will see the Lord. So Scripture just said, a command, pursue holiness, go after it, make every effort. Okay, now, how do I do that? Well, what does that even mean? How can I mean, if I'm a baby Christian and I'm reading that, I would say to myself, okay, I want to be holy. How do I be holy? What do I have to do? I mean, how am I gonna pull this thing off? I mean, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna change the way I dress. No more flip-flops, no more shorts. I'm gonna dress in white. White shoes, never mind. Do you change your dress? No, I mean, will that make you holy? No. Well, some of you, look at your dress right now. You have holes in your jeans. They're holy jeans, man, but that doesn't mean you're holy. You follow me? That doesn't work. So we know that that's not going to work. How about this? No more TV? I'm holy because I don't watch TV. Does that make you holy? Netflix, whatever you call that stuff, it's gone. I have nothing. I don't watch TV. I don't even have an iPhone. I don't even have a computer. I don't even read the newspaper. I'm holy. Does that make you holy? No. I memorized all of the New Testament, all of it. You want me to recite it for you? Does that make you holy? No, it doesn't make you holy. Now listen to me very carefully. What in the world? How do we become holy? Because it says a very scary scripture. Look at it. It says, if you don't have it without holiness, how many people are going to see Jesus? Nobody's going to see them. Now listen, I told the early service, like I'm telling you right now, when I was a new believer and I read that verse, remember how verses, when you're a baby Christian, you just tremble. It makes you think you're not saved. Are y'all with me? Okay, and boy, this one did it for me because it troubled me. As a matter of fact, it has troubled many sincere Christians, loved one. And here's the deal. If you're not really a Berean, if you don't really study the show thyself worthy by dividing up the scriptures, the spirit of truth, here's what's going to happen. You're going to read that and you're going to say, oh boy, I'm in trouble. So I'm thinking now, okay, salvation by works. I mean, I got to work or I'm not going to make it. I'll never see the Lord. I've got to pursue. I've got to make every effort and I've got to work. To do this. Is anyone saved by works? No, you're saved by faith, loved one. Now, who was this letter of exhortation? Who is it written to? Jewish believers. So it was written to Christians. Amen? Now, in chapter 3, verse 1 of Hebrews, the writer calls them holy brethren. So, okay, they're already holy. So how did they get holy? How in the world, how do we get holy? Well, we're going to get holy the same way they got holy. Let me give you the scriptures. Are you ready? The new birth, that's how you become holy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our old man, the old Billy, if you will, was not holy. Matter of fact, I was totally unholy, unable to be holy, okay? But my new man is completely, totally holy. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now listen carefully. The word holiness is a very important word, but it's also important to look it up. Hagios. What does it mean? The word here used for holiness, okay, is sanctification. Sanctification means this. You now have been set apart for God. And like I said earlier, you have been set apart just for God. You belong to Him. You are holy. Go through and study every word in the Bible on the word holy or holiness. And you'll find that the word holy, there's holy furnishings, there's a holy throne, there's a holy ark, there's holy commandments, there's a holy spirit, there's holy kiss. Hello? Why? It has been set apart. It is sanctified by God. And whatever God sets apart is holy or God doesn't use it. Are you listening to me? Very, very important. Let me give you the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him, meaning because of God, you are in Christ. You're born again. You're in Christ. All that Jesus is now yours. You're co-heirs with Christ. He says, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who's become for us from God righteousness, sanctification, redemption. So sanctification, holiness, is only found in one person, and that is Jesus Christ. That's how you get it. So sanctification means this. Jesus has imputed unto you his perfect, spotless, sinless record. But he has also done something else. He has imputed to you, but he's also imparted to you his very life, meaning he died for us. Let me give you the scripture. It says in Hebrews 10:10, by that will, meaning God's will, we, all of us, loved one, we have been sanctified. We have been declared holy. We have been set apart by God. We have been sanctified, past tense. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all, meaning he died for us. He took our place. Now, listen, that is your position. That is my position in Christ Jesus. Because of one sacrifice, not many sacrifices, just one, you have been declared by God, because you're in Jesus, permanently and eternally holy. That means forever and ever and ever, and that cannot change. The scripture I just gave you there, Hebrews 10:10, is not speaking of progressive sanctification. It's talking about permanent holiness. Amen? God doesn't say, okay, I've set you apart. You're holy unto me. You're mine. You're my vessel. And then all of a sudden said, I can't use you anymore. He doesn't do that. You belong to God. Amen? Now, and that's permanent. It's not going to change. No one can unseal the Holy Spirit from your heart. Do you understand me? You belong to him. Now, and then in Hebrews 10:14, listen to this. For by one offering, he, Jesus, has perfected forever. Man, how long is forever? It's forever. It's eternal. Now, he has perfected, past tense, forever, those, that means all true believers, those who are being, present tense, sanctified. Now, listen very carefully. We have to divide that into two different things. Number one, you have been perfected forever. That's eternal perfection. That's one part, okay? Declared holy forever. Now, the other part here, meaning that is our position. Our position is, because we're in Jesus, we are, in the eyes of God, we stand perfect. That's our position, not our practice. Amen? However, it says, are being sanctified, present tense, continuous, meaning there is a process that is going on. We call it the process of sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, conforming us into the very image of Christ, from glory to glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now, so what are we doing here? We are now walking out our permanent possession that we have been given by God. In other words, that progressive sanctification. We're not the same as we were 10 years ago or 15. We're changing, amen? More into Christ's likeness. Now, listen again. The Jewish believers and all believers are called, we're called to pursue what we already have in position. That's why, loved one, this is so important to understand the difference. So how in the world are we to pursue what we already have in position? I mean, how in the world is that done? How do we work it out? How do we live it out? How do we live out our position that we have in Christ? There's only one way. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Okay, let me read it to you. Paul writes, and he says to the church of Philippi, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. Say that word with me. Work out. That means, in the Greek, that word just simply means bring to the ultimate conclusion, okay? Bring it to its end. You could use an illustration of a math problem. 3 + 3 is what? You just brought it to its conclusion. You can't change it. We know it's that. So when it says work out, bring to the ultimate full completion, what? Your own. That's a very important word. Your own salvation. Man, with fear and trembling. So he's saying here, work out what you already possess. You're already saved. So work out your own salvation. He doesn't say work for it. We don't have to. The Philippians were already saved. Amen?
Well, there's much more to this message, and we hope you'll tune in once again on Monday when Pastor Bill will conclude Essentials for the Race. As always, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. We appreciate you so much. We pray that you have a safe and restful weekend, and we'll look for you on Monday. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.